On February 9th, the U.S. Postal Service announced it lost $3.3 billion in the last quarter of 2011. This red ink in the bottom line came despite a reduction of 8 million man-hours and the elimination of 100,000 jobs in response to previously bleak financial reports. The post office also reported increasingly high productivity and a brisk rise in packages delivered over the holidays. However, progress in all of those areas could not overshadow an even bigger problem, as reported by Postal Service Chief Financial Officer Joe Corbett.
First-class mail declined by more than 4% in terms of revenue. Standard mail revenues declined by more than 6% this quarter. And because those businesses make up over 85% of our overall revenue, the declines there, the secular declines there, are dwarfing the good things we're doing in our $10 billion package business.
The Postal Service reported back in September that first-class mail volume has dropped 25% since 2006, and that with email and electronic bill paying, that decline is expected to be permanent. Postmaster General Patrick Donahoe says there needs to be big changes, and they have to start now. If not, he says, we may never emerge from the growing tide of debt.
If the Postal Service is unable to reduce its operating costs by $20 billion a year by the year 2015, we may not be able to return to profitability for the long term, period. You know, the implication of this idea is that we might become a long-term burden to the taxpayers unless we're able to make these cost reductions quickly.
The losses from the fourth quarter of last year further exacerbate what were already very troubling reports throughout 2011. That's a fact not lost on Florida Congressman Dennis Ross. He chairs the House subcommittee with oversight of the Postal Service.
It's dismal. They posted a $5 billion loss when, in fact, it was well over $10 billion because we postponed their payment obligations for pre-funding of their health care and retirement plan. So, and it's not getting any better. It's going to continue to lose money and operate at a loss.
And Congressman Ross says when you dig deeper into the numbers, even substantial help from Congress in recent years can't seem to help the post office.
They've already exhausted their $15 billion loan allotment with the federal government. They've already committed to not being able to pay their pre-funding for health care and retirement. If you talk to Patrick Donahoe, the Postmaster General, he'll say it'll probably come June or July. They won't be able to afford to buy gas to put their mail trucks on the road.
Actually, Mr. Donahoe is now projecting a crisis point around October of 2012. Congressman Ross says the significant decline in first-class mail volume is a huge part of the reason for the financial woes. But he says another big problem is overly generous labor contracts and the Postal Service failing to pursue some natural attrition in its workforce.
Over 80% of their costs today are labor costs. We've got contracts that we've negotiated with the unions that offer no layoff clauses. And so we've got to provide incentives for those employees, which are well over 150,000 employees of the Postal Service, that are eligible for retirement, to retire so that we can downsize the workforce and allow it to operate in the infrastructure that we have now that goes over to 150 million homes a day.
But that's missing a huge part of the story, according to National Association of Letter Carriers President Frederick Rolando. He says the Postal Service is actually doing very well operationally and has done so throughout the past few years, with the exception of 2011. Mr. Rolando says the rapidly mounting overall debt is the result of a brutal mandate imposed by Congress back in 2006.
I think what everybody's missing in the media is that they made about a $200 million profit during that quarter operationally in spite of all those things. The losses, as you alluded to, are directly attributable to the pre-funding requirement. What you may or may not know is the Postal Service is the only federal agency, and really the only company in the country that's required to pre-fund their future retiree health benefits for 75 years in the future.
The resolution mandating that the Postal Service pre-fund its pension system for the next 75 years within a decade's time was sponsored by then-Virginia Congressman Tom Davis. He says the goal was to avoid the need for a taxpayer bailout of the Postal Service. Davis says, unfortunately, the Postal Service suffered revenue losses from the recession just as the mandate to pre-fund the pension system kicked in. Davis also says the mandates are tougher than they need to be, since the Postal Service ends up paying retirees more than they really should.
On the pension issue, the post office gets the short end of the stick because they have a veteran's preference for hiring. But when it comes to paying out on the pensions, you get credit for the years you served in the military as well as the civilian, and the post office picks the total tab up. So basically, you have the post office subsidizing retirement for people who served in the military as well. And they transferred that. We tried to make some changes to that where the federal government would pick up a larger share, as they should, and the Defense Department and the like would pick up a larger share than the postal users. And the administration just fought it because it had a bad score with CBO. It would make the deficit look worse than it is. This was the prior administration. This was not the current administration.
So the Bush administration bears some blame, according to Congressman Davis, but he saves some blame for the current administration as well.
We tried to bring this to the attention of this administration early on when the Postmaster General couldn't get a meeting with the president or the chief of staff. And he said, look, we're just sinking like a ship. I remember sending emails saying, this is 9% of the economy. You got to pay attention to it. But everybody else was getting a stimulus in the post office they weren't paying attention to. And that's been traditional. Administrations don't want to have anything to do with this.
Postal Service CFO Joe Corbett agrees, and then some. He says the Postal Service is urging Congress to reform the pre-funding requirements in order to help ease the financial strain.
We need legislation which returns over $10 billion of amounts paid to the federal government over funding and resolves the need to pre-fund retiree health care at rates not assessed any other entity in the country.
But Congressman Ross isn't nearly so sympathetic. He says if the Postal Service is not required to bankroll retirement for its workers, you can bet the taxpayers will get stuck with the bill.
The bottom line is there's a federal backstop there. And if we did away with the pre-funding, then you would have the federal government would be responsible for the retirement benefits and the health care benefits, which means the taxpayer would do it. You know, this is all about getting in line. Everybody believes that the post office has and should continue to operate in a self-sufficient fashion. That's our goal. So they need to fund their retirement and health care, just like any other organization should and does.
So now you know the facts on the ground as it pertains to the financial woes of the United States Postal Service. And you've heard different explanations as to why there's so much red ink. In the second half of our presentation, you'll hear a variety of solutions on how to get the U.S. Postal Service back on the right fiscal course. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.